Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is episode 638 and is sponsored by Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, Knit Companion, Oink Pigments, and the Sandpiper Gift and Yarn Boutique. This week's segments include On the Needles,
In Stitches,
Events,
Mother Knows Best,
When Knitting Attacks,
Panathenic Games,
Knit in Space,
and so on. Grab your knitting, pull up a chair, and start your row.
Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the show. And if you are a returning listener, thank you very much for coming back. My name is Jasmine, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
My name is Genevieve, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
My name is Gigi, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
All right, let's do a quick check-in, and then we'll get into the knitting. Genevieve, how are you doing this week?
Pretty good. I mean, I scraped my knee this morning, but it's really nothing.
Okay. Gramsy, how's your knee doing?
Still broken, but we have an appointment on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited about that.
Are we taking sufficiently good care of you for the listeners who are going to ask?
Yes.
Are we taking exceptionally good care of you?
I made you breakfast.
Yeah. Everyone is involved in mom's caretaking.
And I got to have fun, and we'll talk about that later.
This is what happens when we take off the bubble wrap. That's all I'm going to say. All right, let's move on to the knitting. All right, Genevieve, I believe we start with you. What are you working on this week?
Well, I've been balling up yarn for mom, like I do every week.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Much appreciated.
Yeah. So, to start, I wound mom's Seismic Yarns Seismic Buttersock in Uwok. Uwok is not a, like, official color yet, right? It's, like, a one-of-a-kind.
Uwok stands for one-of-a-kind, and I was trying to figure out if it's Uwok or Owok, but I think it's Uwok.
Uwok.
Uwok this way. Oh, sorry. It's a song from a long time ago.
Okay.
But anyway, I think it might have been the predecessor to her Pride colorway. It was a bonus that I got with one of my orders, and it's beautiful, and I'm using it for a secret test knit for Knit Boop. So that is exciting. I think I'm going to cast that on today.
And may I add a description of what Uwok looks like?
Please describe what Uwok looks like, what this Uwok looks like.
Oh, this one. So this Uwok, it kind of looks like, so you know how most unicorns look, how they're like rainbows and happy and sparkles?
Yeah.
If you minus the sparkles, it's exactly like that. So it's all the colors of the rainbow. There's like pinks and purples and reds. It's really gorgeous. While it's on the ball winder, if you just look while you're winding, it just looks gorgeous.
Yeah. It's on my wish list of things. I want to do a sweater in that colorway, or in the colorway that Uwok grew up into.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited. Gramsy, you're next.
I finished the Musselboro hat by Isolde with the blue oink yarn.
Marvelous. Genevieve?
Well, I have one more balling up yarn subject thingy.
Mm-hmm.
I wound mom's oink pigments, Dapper, Give Peeps a Chance, for my pants. Fantastic hoodie. I think that's for the hood.
For the hood, yep. Because this week I picked up the zipper facings and I knit those. And I secured the pockets to the body. And you tried that on to make sure they were in the right place. And
next, I believe you're going to cut it and do this.
Yeah, I'm going to sew the steek on the sewing machine. And then I'm going to cut the steek. You said you wanted to help with that?
Well, I can videotape it for you.
Okay. I thought you wanted to do some cutting, too.
I'll do that, too.
Excellent.
And then you can take over videotaping.
Perfect. Great teamwork. So the next step is to pick up and knit the hood on that, and then Genevieve's fantastic hoodie is done. So that is good. What else are you working on, Mom?
I finished the sock for Andrew that I was working on, and it is kitchenered, no ends woven in, and the silk sock that I was working on is also kitchenered.
Well, that's excellent.
With ends hanging out all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So, what else are you guys working on?
Well, I have one more thing. Mm-hmm. I worked on my hat. like, for a brief moment.
For one hot second?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Jasmine.
I have a major knitting milestone. I finished the body of my Theano test knit last night.
Oh, excellent.
So that means I will be able to... Well, I started the sleeves this morning, and these should go considerably faster than the body because there's a lot fewer stitches.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go, you decrease because, as I mentioned before, it's a sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really good. I feel really terrible because they keep moving the testing deadline back.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for me, but for other testers as well. And this is the first time I haven't met a deadline.
It's okay, Mom. Everybody makes
mistakes. If they're moving the deadline back for everybody, then maybe the deadline needed to be moved back.
I think it's because of how fine the gauge is, because, I mean...
Well, yeah.
I'm a fast knitter, but also size zero needles are... Jeez.
If this was worsted...
I would have been done.
3 weeks
months
ago.
Months ago.
Yeah.
But I also started this, I think, in June?
You started late?
I started late.
Well, the others aren't done either.
Some of them are done. Some of them are not done. I'm in the center, and I hate missing a deadline. That's just something about how my brain is wired.
Okay.
But I am enjoying the daylights out of this because since it is miles and miles of teeny weeny stockinette stitch,
mm-hmm.
imagine this as like 4 million pairs of socks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that.
Everywhere I've pulled it out of my bag to work on it, I have gotten people ooing and aahing over what a fantastic color it is, how cute the yoke pattern is,
mm-hmm.
all of those things. So... I'm just encouraging myself continually with the idea that I am going to get so much wear out of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is going, Genevieve, you're going to inherit this. Someday when you're a grown-up, you will get this sweater. And not 1 second before that.
She might get it 1 second before because if you're knitting it to fit you.
Yeah.
When she's a grown-up, it might be too small for her.
That yeah. will be really sad for her.
I think when I'm a teenager, I'll inherit that.
You think so?
Or you may borrow it.
Mm.
Oh.
So it goes back to Mom when you grow out of it, which seems fair.
Well, I'm so glad that everyone else is discussing me sharing my things. But that's okay. So this is inching closer to being finished. Remember when I was complaining about knitting a hat on size zero needles and I said it was like stacking ants?
And that is the title of this week's show.
Alrighty, what else are you working on, Mom?
I cast on a yet another Musselboro hat
mm-hmm.
out of a pink and orange oink yarn.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on a trip, and this was my trip knitting. And I'm getting close to the crown decreases.
Yay!
Yeah.
Marvelous.
Yes. My goal is really to be done with not a whole lot of yarn left over. So, and not losing yarn chicken.
Okay. Seems so. like a good goal.
Yes. And that is all of my knitting.
Genevieve, do you have anything else?
No.
All right, let's move on to the next segment.
But first, a word from our sponsors. Are you feeling disgruntled about your stash? Are you browsing Instagram looking for knitting inspiration? Is color kind of a big deal in your life? Oink Pigments offers over 140 picture-perfect colorways to make you squeal with delight. For a limited time only, bring home the bacon with code KNITMORE and get 15% off in-stock yarns and fibers at oinkpigments.com. Shop soon because these pigs will fly. You can find links to Oink Pigments, along with everything else we've talked about, in the show notes.
All right, family. What has had us in stitches this week?
May I go first?
I would love for you to go first.
Well, I wore my zebra socks.
Mm-hmm. Which, that Gramsci knit for you?
Yes, they are like, I've grown like a tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not like thigh high anymore. They're like slightly smaller. So
above the knee?
Yes, above the knee.
Okay.
So about maybe 5 inches
above. Okay. Okay. So
I also wore my Onna cardigan because I like to take runs in the morning, and it is kind of cold when you're wearing a t-shirt and shorts. So I like to wear that when I run. And I wore my Gryffindor hat during one of I didn't do it during one of my runs. I went out with Dad, and I wore it under my baseball cap.
Ah, style.
Yeah, it's also very warm. So
under the pink baseball hat?
No, under my school baseball hat.
Okay, cool.
And during like trying to find which hat I wanted to wear, I wore my pink beanie because I thought that might work. Tip, when you wear baseball caps, you should probably wear a hat that's slightly longer, because if you do that, then when you take off the cap, your hat also falls off.
Mmm, solid.
So, yeah, that's a problem. Gramsci.
I slept under my Cal King quilt and the Halloween quilt.
I too slept under the Halloween quilt this weekend.
You did?
Because Mom and I were bunking together. And I had a chance to wear my Blossom pullover. It was cool enough one of the evenings that we were up on our trip to wear a wool sweater. And I was lucky enough to have... It's the Blossom pullover by Anne Valley from Little Skein and the Big Wool. And she was on the trip with us. And so I got the designer to photograph my sweater, which was really lovely because... we were having such a good time, and it was so beautiful up there that I was glad it was cool enough somewhere to wear something beautiful. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. You were on the FaceTime call, and I saw you wearing it.
That's right. Yeah. We FaceTimed, and the kids saw me in it. All right. Is there anything else?
Nope.
All right. Let's move on to the next segment.
But first, a word from our sponsors. Carry your creativity with Erin Lane bags. Whether you show your fiber fandom with the Woolly Wonder Sheepleverse, or dive into history with the Curiosities Collection, our project bags, totes, and hook and needle organizers are at the ready to keep your hobby happy. You can find links to Erin Lane, along with everything else we've talked about, in the show notes.
So, Mom, Genevieve, what events are we participating in and attending in the near future?
Well, Stash Dash is being hosted on Discord.
By the Knit Girls.
By the Knit Girls, yes.
My spreadsheet is updating in real time, along with Boston Jen's spreadsheet. Hers is growing faster because she's doing a lot of tiny projects. But I have a sneaking suspicion that in the next 2 days, my meterage is going to jump drastically. But since I haven't done those things yet...
You can't talk of them.
You're behind.
I'm not behind.
She's ahead?
You're ahead.
Listen. Listen, I will... You know what?
Yes, lovey.
With parents... With mothers like these, who needs frenemies?
Ha!
All right, so that's going. I look forward to leaving Boston Jen in my dust and my mother eating so much crow... in all the forms. Humble pie. Crow.
Well, usually ask
a
me
a whole buffet of her words.
To make the humble pie for you or the cooked crow.
Uh-huh.
So.
All right. What else have we got coming up?
So 2020 Summer Olympics began on Friday, July 23rd, 2021. And are ongoing. And the Bay Area Fiber Fair starts June 25th and runs until September 23rd, 2021.
We are also attending Rhinebeck in October, the 16th to the 17th, 2021.
All right, is that everything?
And yep. Rhinebeck is... myself and Jasmine attending. You have school.
Yes, and I do not want to skip it, Mom.
Yes, dear. I'm such a mean mom, suggesting that she skip school to go to Rhinebeck and have a life experience. But there's always next year. So let's move on to the next segment. this week for Mother Knows Best, in the interests of being family friendly and ultimately community minded and all of the other good things that we have worked to be over the years, we were hoping to reach out to our listeners to encourage you and everyone else in your sphere of influence, as far as your voice can reach, hollering from your front doorstep, your Twitter feed, your Instagram. We are asking you to keep wearing your masks when you go into public spaces. And with the Delta variants and the Lambda variants popping up.
Lambda?
Yeah, these are, we'll talk about diseases later. You have an auntie who works for the CDC.
Really?
The CDC is the Center for Disease Control, and she's an epidemiologist.
Which means she studies germs?
Diseases.
Oh, I was
and
close.
Epidemics, specifically.
So like pandemics?
Like pandemics. Pandemics are like an epidemic, but bigger, I think. Okay. Because pan means all, right? So, my friends and I, mostly my friends who have children, have been talking via text for the most part and trying to stay up to date with the most current information from reputable sources such as the CDC so that we make informed decisions with the most recent scientific information that's available. And I'm choosing my words very carefully here because I don't want to make decisions based strictly on my feelings. I want to make the best decision based on the science. I have to follow the science, not how I feel. And what I have been reading, the most recent thing I read, and please forgive me, I have been off the planet for 3 days, and I'm just re-emerging back into reality and social media and all of those things, is that with the variants and with young people, I'm sorry, children under the age of 12 not being able to be vaccinated, it's just safer for people to wear masks in public because A, you don't know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't been vaccinated, and B, you don't know how long the vaccines that we have, that those of us have gotten, how long those last and how well they protect against the variants. And I know this is a lot of scary stuff that I'm throwing out here, but I am...
It also helps with preventing the spread of colds.
Can I tell you how great it is to only have suffered miserably from allergies this last year and a half?
And not a cold, yeah.
Not
Ditto.
A cold,
Same
not the
here.
Flu, no. I'm so delighted that my children are really good at wearing masks. And I'm really encouraged by our school district making sure that the kids are safe. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting in on, we have the most wonderful principal at our school, and I will accept no arguments. This is a fact. We have the greatest principal ever. And she would hold these weekly meetings for parents from the beginning of the year until basically May, when we had most of the kids back in school, because the safety protocols that the district put in place were being followed so well that we had 2 exposures in the entire school year. And it was minimal. So
that is excellent.
Yeah. For how big our school is, for how many kids there are, for all of the things that existed, that was really good. So I feel confident and safe sending my mask-wearing children back to school with the COVID policies that have been established in place. And even Rex. Even Rex is really good about wearing his mask. And so here's where we turn this conversation from a super, super downer into an opportunity to continue taking care of our communities with style. So school starts in a couple of weeks for our kids. I've been talking to other friends who live in other places. Some people start as late as September. Some people start, you know, 5 minutes from now, which is what it feels like our school district is starting at. I'm just not ready for summer to be done and have to send my children to school again. I've really enjoyed the time with them, but I know that they'll do a lot better once they're able to be around their friends, even with the limitations of social distancing and mask wearing and COVID protocols. So that said, I was talking to Andrew this morning about picking up some fabric for the kids so they can have special masks, so they can basically rotate through and have a clean mask every day for school.
Oh, that is an excellent idea.
And that way they'll get washed regularly because Rex mouths on his mask.
Mm-hmm.
Rex does a lot of sensory stimulation stuff. So he'll like lick the inside of his mask or like put, I know, it's, he'll be six in a couple of weeks, Mom. It's just a thing that
yeah,
he does.
He'll grow out.
And if he could use a Chewy with a mask, he would. But this is why I said we need to have a different mask for every day of school.
You could sew in a Chewy inside.
I'm worried about it being a choking hat. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
But the long and the short of it is I think I'm going to see if I can find Avengers fabric
mm-hmm.
and have like a different Avenger for each day of the week. That so that way he's enthusiastic about wearing it.
So fussy cutting in essence.
Sure. Does that mean cut it so that the picture's in the middle?
You showcase one element of the design.
Sure. So I'm going to find a mask pattern that's like the one he loves, which he calls his Winter Soldier mask because it's blue with white stars.
Okay.
And I'm going to copy that pattern because I've got a couple of the... There are several styles of mask that mm-hmm. you can make. And everyone's right. been making masks.
Mm-hmm.
And I just figured I'd take a morning and just sew some masks and refresh our mask wardrobe because we are going to continue to protect our community and ourselves in style. And I encourage others to do that as well because when you have a platform like we do, it's really important to highlight things that are important.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who've been wearing masks, keep on doing what you're doing.
I was always impressed by how civic-minded Americans are.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very low-stakes way of protecting
others.
Others.
And yourself.
And yourself.
Yeah. I feel like this should be a 1940s and 50s like propaganda thing. Where they're like, mask up. It's the patriotic thing to do.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that is this week's Mother Knows Best. Wear your masks. Be family friendly. Be patriotic. Because as much as it feels like we're starting to come out of this, not everyone in the world has the same access to vaccines that we in the United States do. And we're all in this together. A global pandemic means everyone is dealing with this at the same time.
It's the whole globe.
Yep. So let's move on to the next segment. But first, a word from our sponsors, the Sandpiper Gift and Yarn Boutique and Hoof to Hanger Fiber Mill in Bridgman, Michigan. The Sandpiper offers artisan-designed gifts, local, regional, national artists, and fair trade products. The boutique also offers their cottage industry fiber mill products, yarn, roving, coarse spun, batting, knit and woven garments, accessories, home goods, and an exclusive yarn and fiber club. Explore www.thesandpiper.biz. You can find links to the Sandpiper along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes.
It's when knitting attacks!
Alrighty, am I soloing this week?
You are.
Oh, marvelous. So glad to hear it. So this week is more of a spinning attack than a knitting attack because I was wrapping up my Tour de Fleece spinning and my Panathenic Games project. I think I'm just going to keep spinning because it's making me really happy
mm-hmm.
and extending out my spinning is really satisfying. It's giving me an excuse. Yes, baby.
And if you spin, doesn't that count as yardage?
Why, yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I'm glad you point that out because Auntie Boston Jen should be extremely worried. Because mm-hmm. I spun so much that one of my AcreWorks bobbins came apart while I was spinning. I was spinning so much. And I noticed because all of a sudden it wasn't drawing in no matter how much tension I put on the bobbin. And then I looked really closely, and because it's got the little window,
mm-hmm.
the insides where the pretty designs are,
right?
It looked like it was further out than before. And when I took a look at it, it had fallen apart. So I kind of wedged it back together so I could wind it off onto storage bobbins so it wouldn't become a tangly mess and become mm-hmm. completely unusable.
Mm-hmm.
And that did not work as well as I thought. I spent some time hand winding off of the AcreWorks bobbin onto a plastic storage bobbin and then winding on my double-ended bobbin winder when I had worked close enough in mm-hmm. that I could do most of it on that and then just do a little bit by hand.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really good. And I just need to let Acreworks know, because they've always been really good about
yes.
bobbin disasters.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that there is nothing as surprising as the sound of ball bearings hitting the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's little teeny ball bearings in the core part.
Huh.
Yeah, that lock into the bobbin.
Right.
It's very clever.
I didn't know that.
Oh, well, you haven't accidentally broken several of them.
Wait, several?
I think I've broken three or four in the time Jeez. I've been spending in different ways. So that's exciting. But I am looking forward to racking up all that yardage when I wind up the skeins from my spinning.
So, excellent.
That's it for When Knitting Attacks, I think, right?
Yes.
Let's move on to the next segment.
But first, a word from our sponsors. Have you ever had to frog because you forgot a step several rows back? Or lost your spot because you dropped your magnet board? Or lost track with your highlighter tape? Instead of wrestling with paper, use the Knit Companion app. It keeps you on track so you can knit more and frog less. Knit Companion works with all your patterns and it's available for Apple, Android, and Kindle Fire devices. You can find links to Knit Companion, along with everything else we've talked about, in the show notes.
As I mentioned earlier, the Panathenic Games have begun in parallel with the Olympics or whatever. And we watched the opening ceremonies all together. And it was super fun. Sam's partner brought over snacks for everyone that were Olympic themed.
Can I?
Yeah.
So she warmed up onion rings. So we got five of those, since there are five little rings for the
Olympic logo.
Yeah.
Which were based on the continents participating in the original or the whatever Olympic Games.
So that was like the main part. And mm-hmm. on the side, she had sushi because it was being hosted in
Japan. Mm-hmm.
And she had gold medals, which are lemon Girl Scout cookies,
which were delicious.
Yeah, they really were.
And there was a green tea cookie as well that was really good.
Matcha, I think.
A matcha cookie, yeah.
I didn't like it that much, but...
Everyone likes different things.
And Rex got two sushis, so...
He did.
Very sad.
Oh, for him or for you?
Me.
Okay, well, I think we can probably fix that.
Well, I ate yours because you didn't eat it, so...
I'll tell you what, when we go back to school shopping, we'll pick up sushi for lunch.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yay!
All right. Solved. So what are you working on during the Panathenic Games, Mom?
I have one project that I'm working on, and that's what I'm working on. So I'm working on a Musselboro hat
mm-hmm.
out of orange and pink oink yarn.
Marvelous.
And that's all there is.
Like I mentioned before, I'm continuing to spin. And since I finished spinning the Emerald City colorway from Lisa Souza for my incredible sweater, I thought I would finish off the Cormo I had been spinning before so that I can get that fleece finished and turned into yarn and off to a friend who's a dyer to turn it into something that is super, super cheerful and decadent, because hand-spun Cormo is like the height of decadence, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's going to be good. And I think that is about it for mine. Genevieve, are you going to work on anything during the Olympics, or are you just going to watch?
I mean, I might run some laps and, like, do some pull-ups, but...
What about for knitting and stuff?
Yeah, I'll probably do that.
All right, perfect. I'll take it. All right, that's it. So let's move on to the next segment. But first, a word from our sponsors. When was the last time your knitting yarn was a work of art? Infinite Twist produces one-of-a-kind, semi-solid gradients featuring speckles, highlights, lowlights, and gorgeous color transitions. From 700-yard giant gradients to 200-yard matching sock sets, Infinite Twist gradients will hold your interest from cast-on to bind-off. See the currently available gradients at infinitetwist.com or be the first to know when new colors are posted by signing up for our newsletter at infinitetwist.com/newsletter-signup. You can find links to Infinite Twist along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. This week for Knits in Space, Mom and I did something super fun, something I haven't done since before Rex was born.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on an overnight trip with a couple of, a select few knitting friends who have all been fully vaccinated and have been being very careful. So we rented a, I think it was a vacation rental by owner, which I believe is a predecessor to Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up to Tomales Bay, which I'd never been to before, which mm-hmm. is off of, I think, Highway 1. And it's on the peninsula, I believe. And I'm sure if I'm incorrect, somebody will correct me very quickly. And I appreciate that muchly. But something really cool is that the weather was nice up there and it's full of trees. And you walk out and you just smell pine trees
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And the fresh, salty air, because you could see the water from where we were. And theoretically, had we been in the mood to, we could have walked down to the waterfront. And you could see the oyster beds off the thing. And so when we were planning our meals, basically everyone took a shift either cooking or cleaning,
mm-hmm.
except for Mom, who we doted on and bubble wrapped because she was not in any position to do that kind of contribution. She merely contributed by being charming and social, which is important. Somebody, it's a big job and somebody's got to do it. So it was this really fun, quirky little house mm-hmm. that we stayed in, and it was just really nice. And this is, the reason that we're sharing this is not only because we had a terrific time and I got to learn a new life skill, which was oyster shucking, which I'll talk about in a second, but it was, this is our dry run for Rhinebeck. This is the first time I've been gone overnight since Rex was born.
Mm-hmm.
And we just wanted to make sure everything would go smoothly and we could work out any bumps or hiccups before I get on a cross-country flight.
Yes.
Somewhere where I was more accessible, just in case. The kids did great. They had a great time. They told me they were having tons of fun without me. They ate all of the things that I am allergic to and had a great time and just did all of the stuff and spent a lot of really good quality time with Andrew. And so this was our dry run. And I'm a big believer in getting everything ready and doing a dry run because that's how you have a successful experience, and also you manage your anxiety that way, is planning and practicing and whatnot, right?
One yep. time we did a dry run for the chocolate cake.
The chocolate soufflés.
Yes.
Yeah, that I think might have been the kids' favorite dry run was chocolate soufflés. Because you don't make them for someone's birthday without practicing first, right?
I mean, I would probably say my favorite dry run would be a lamb or a goose. Which you will probably do in the near future?
Yeah, we're going to do a goose, a dry run for the Christmas goose we want to cook. And Sam's partner promised to do lamb. And it won't be a dry run. It'll be a successful pre-run that we sampled and said, oh my gosh, we have to make this for the kids. So anyway, we got there. It wasn't a bad drive. Everyone carpooled. So my van had four people. It took a little bit of creative maneuvering to get Mom comfortable because it was about 2.5 hours in the car. And we picked up a friend on the way up who was literally like just off the freeway, and then we hopped back on and finished the drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really good. And it just was so pleasant. And so on Sunday, we left you at home because it was kind of a hassle getting you in and out of the car. And
I decided, since one of the gang was staying, I would stay home with her and spend time.
Which actually turned out wonderfully because we went to the Hog Island Oyster Company, which is on the water, and there was a little picture demonstration on how to open oysters.
I like oipen.
Oipen oysters? Perfect. And it's something I've always wanted to learn how to do. Sam at Christmas was saying that he had this big burning desire to shuck oysters. And now I can teach him because mm-hmm. it's not that hard. There was a thing on Top Chef a few years ago where they were shucking oysters and it looked super hard and very dangerous. But I feel like this is a knowing how to do it and having the right equipment situation.
And safety equipment.
And not being in a rush because they were also racing.
And you also got the glove?
I got a non-slip glove and I got the official Hog Island Oyster Bay or Hog Island Oyster Company shucking knife, which mm-hmm. was my souvenir for the weekend. And we brought them home and we followed the directions and it was just like pop, 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 pop. And I did about 3 dozen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun and they were...
delicious. They were so good.
There's nothing like oysters fresh from the water.
Wait, yeah. It was over the water? Does that mean like it was hovering over the water?
Fresh from the water. They had been collected, I think, that morning, and they had these little pools that the oysters were hanging out
in.
That's
cool.
Yeah, it was so cool. I'm totally taking you guys. And they didn't have anything non-oystery, so a couple of the folks in our group, we had a little cafe on the way back home to mm-hmm. pick up some things that were non-oystery, and then we went home and we ate oysters until we could oyster no more.
Yeah.
No moister?
No moister.
I had wanted to eat a dozen, but...
Were you counting?
Well, I know it wasn't a dozen.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay. Well, we did our best. We gave it the old college try. And so that was really fun. And it was just a relaxing... It was not the usual type of weekend that I do. I usually have a folder with itineraries and lists and places we're going to go and places where we're going to get food from and places, all the activities we're going to do. And this was 180 degrees different, and it was exactly right for what we needed.
Absolutely.
The kids, Rex specifically, had asked me for souvenirs from my trip. And I say this now because having Rhinebeck on the horizon, and I want to teach our listeners about Sorati.
Yes.
Would you like to explain what sogati are?
It's a Persian custom, and people who travel always bring stuff for friends and family.
So both where you're going, so if you're being hosted by a family or you're visiting, you're like, here is some dried California oranges. It's usually more fancy than that, but...
Yes.
And when you come home, you bring stuff for the close people in your life.
Yes.
And so Rex said, bring me a present. And I didn't want to turn around and say, like, I'm not going somewhere where there are presents. But I stood corrected because Rex is, he'll be 6 in about a week and a half, like I mentioned, and Genevieve is 9 and a half. And they are lovers of all things interesting. So I brought back oyster shells that we'd washed. They each got one oyster shell and they got pine cones from the pine tree that was in front of the house.
And there were fresh apples that turned brown almost immediately.
They're crab apples, yeah, from the tree on in the yard. And I got one for each member of our family, and they were delighted. So I love this idea of non-commercial special things for, so like a rock for your rock collection if you are a rock person. And pine cones are always popular with our crowd because they might end up in our lizard habitat.
Or they might end up on my pine cone collecting thing on top of the fireplace.
Yep, or we could also use them in the fireplace and see if they smell different from the pine cones from our neighborhood.
One.
Okay, that's fine. I brought more than two for the kids. I brought a good sized bag. Thank you. I brought the best pine cones I could find. So that was really exciting and really fun. And it just gave me some ideas on what I can do for the kids when we go up to Rhinebeck. So... that is what I want to talk about. What do you want to talk about from this weekend?
It was relaxing, and everybody clucked over me and made sure they helped me along. And I would turn around and somebody was handing me my crutches, and I needed a step stool to rest my leg on, and that always appeared miraculously. And would you like to sit? What can we do to make you comfortable? Let me get you a blanket. Do you need a pillow? And I got to talk to people.
It seems like you were enjoying this.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was really, really good.
Usually when you're a mom, you take care of everybody else.
Unless you have like a broken kneecap or something.
And then everyone has to take care of you.
So...
it's the world coming into balance. All right.
I wasn't grouching about how limited I am in what I can do.
No, because everyone was just relaxing for the most part.
Yeah.
It was really good. A really good combination of collaboration and whatnot. Everyone was working together. It was very, very, very lovely. It was a communal holiday.
Yes.
All right. I will link to, Mom will link to everything we've talked about Tomales Bay, along with everything else, in the show notes. Let's move on to the next segment. Mother Dearest.
Lovey.
Have you solved the problem of sewing with one foot on?
Nope.
I have some ideas. They might not be good ideas.
Okay.
I want to try them with you before suggesting them on the podcast.
Okay.
But I just want to be, so you don't have that solved yet?
Nope.
I have some hand sewing I wanted to talk about, and talking about
excellent
swatching, actually, with regards to sewing. So I know I just said the S word. This is like the big downer episode. Wear masks. Do new things. Try new things. Swatch.
We've been swatching for years.
Mm-hmm.
And for my tailoring class, I did a lot of swatches.
There were swatches for homework.
By hand.
Yeah. So, and that's what I was going to talk about. So the couture embellishment class,
mm-hmm.
you had a textbook called The Encyclopedia of
Stitches or something.
Embroidery Stitches something.
Okay.
We'll link to it in the show notes with like the accurate book. And I mentioned that I did a patch, a visibly mended patch for one of my friend's favorite sweaters.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd wrapped it around herself. And so I'm now putting a buttonhole
mm-hmm.
and a fancy button of mm-hmm. her choosing.
Yes.
Two, actually.
Two stacked together and glued very artfully.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't about to cut into her favorite sweater and do my first hand-sewn buttonhole on her favorite sweater. So from my bowl of swatches, because mm-hmm. I save them and I just throw them in a very pretty bowl on my mm-hmm. sweater cabinet situation, and I followed the directions that were in your book,
mm-hmm.
and I started going, and half of it looks like a first buttonhole, and the second half you can see where it clicked for me,
mm-hmm.
which is another good reason. And then I was going to also do some really casual Googling to see about doing a machine sewn buttonhole on like a bulky knit, because it's a worsted weight sweater.
Right.
So are you going to try that on your sewing machine?
On my sewing machine. I'm going to do both on swatches to see mm-hmm. how it turns out, and whichever one I like better is the one I'm going to do.
My tailoring class, one mm-hmm. of the girls wanted to sew her buttonholes by hand,
mm-hmm.
and she did over 20 buttonholes. Before she thought that the quality was good enough.
That's fair. Part of this was also figuring out how thick the yarn needed to be for the buttonhole. Because I started with, I'm using a yarn that I split.
Why?
Because it was a DK weight yarn. It
you
was
know
odds
there
and ends.
Is something called buttonhole twist for sewing buttonholes?
What? What's buttonhole twist? Is it like thread?
Yes.
Mm. Can you tell me more about that since we're on the podcast? And people, I'm sure I'm not the only one who just said, what's buttonhole twist?
Available at Joann's.
Okay, is it just thread?
I think it might be twisted more tightly.
Okay. I'm gonna take a look. Do you think she decided to do them by hand because she was scared of doing them on the machine?
No, I think it was an aesthetic choice.
Okay.
And she wanted it done by hand.
Just so. You know, that makes total sense. Listen, you, me, everybody who's listening to the podcast, every time somebody makes a big deal about something being intimidating or scary, let me tell you, it's not. It's usually pretty straightforward. Sewing buttonholes on my machine, very straightforward.
Just a bit of practice.
Yeah, and it was not. Like, getting it exactly how I want it is still something I have to swatch. But it's not this nightmare process. And it's not frightening. And it's not that hard.
When I started going to sewing classes, when Sam was still very little, she said, start your seam on a swatch so you can see how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have uneven seams and rat's nests and whatever
on your final project
in your garment.
Yep.
And you always have enough fabric left over from cutting it to
use that.
Have a square that you can run your stitches over.
And this is a great reason to swatch in the first place, as if having garments that fit correctly and are predictably sized. Knitting a swatch and keeping it means when you're practicing steeking, mm-hmm. and you're using your sewing machine, or you are doing a buttonhole, because like I mentioned, the guy I bought my sewing machine at Ray's Sewing off of Meridian, mm-hmm. Not that long ago during the pandemic, and he said his mom for work sewed machine sewn buttonholes on people's knits that they did, mm-hmm. like that was her job that she did for years and years and years. And so I just wanted to put that out there, that it's not, it just takes practice. And now I'm going to go look for the button twist thing.
Yes.
Because I didn't even know that existed. Here I am trying to rebuild the wheel with plies of yarn so I can match the thickness of the buttonhole so it has a look.
Well, when you have people who are old and have experience, it comes in handy.
I believe it's called institutional knowledge in technology.
Yes.
So I bow to your institutional knowledge.
Thank you.
And that said, it sounds like we've come to the end of our row. This week we'd like to thank Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, Knit Companion, Oink Pigments, Sandpiper Inn, Gift and Yarn Boutique, our supporters, but most importantly, you, our listeners. Absolutely everything, and I mean everything we've talked about in this week's episode, can be found at knitmoregirlspodcast.com. You can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me, Jasmine, Jasmin, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or me, Gigi, Gigi, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Spotify Podcasts, Pandora Podcasts, iTunes Podcasts, pretty much everywhere as Knit More Girls. If you like the podcast, feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and an overwhelmingly positive review. Remember, this is Jasmine,
Genevieve,
and Gigi,
telling you to knit more.